Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome to this episode of the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. I'm so excited to be joined today by Emmanuel Asukwo. You've probably heard of Emmanuel already. He's a financial expert with over 15 years experience, and he brings that fresh, down-to-earth approach to finances. It is definitely not dry and boring when Emmanuel's involved. And you've probably seen him on that show, Save Well, Spend Better. And Emmanuel's been on the BBC, Channel 4, Channel 5, every single channel out there, Emmanuel's been on it. And he founded the Eman Effect, which is an educational company which helps people get richer, but not just financially. It's also in well-being terms, in living a better life terms, and really in addressing the stress and anxiety which comes from a poor financial situation. And he's author of the best-selling book, Get Your Money Right. It's a fantastic book. I've got so many notes throughout it, and I can't wait to discuss it with you today. I know we normally talk about rent-to-rent and business, but what we're also very passionate about is about buying assets and building and growing your wealth, and also passing it on to other generations. So welcome to the show, Emmanuel Asukwo.
Hey, Stephanie, thank you for having me. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. It's great to be speaking to you. We met a few years ago and you've been on the show before, and I just absolutely loved the message that you share and the down-to-earth way you do it and the funny TikToks you have, Instagrams you have. Yes. About, bro, you shouldn't be buying that.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I love what you guys do. You know, your book, Rent to Rent Success, is amazing. You know, it's inspired a lot of us, and, you know, you've done it independently, successfully. Even like, you know, the stuff that you do in regards to, you know, moving into a smaller house. How many people do that? Do you know what I mean? Make more money and then go smaller. I think these are the types of ideals. I love what you promote, because you promote actually living on your own terms and actually you defining what success is. And so it's always an honor, it's always a joy to be able to, you know, be with you and speak with you.
Oh, thanks so much. I don't know what to say now. But I read the book. Well, first of all, from the very first page, it just had the Eman stamp all over it. You grew up on the mean streets of London, and the book just comes out with that vibe that everyone can vibe with that. So talk to me a bit about where you came from and what gives you the inspiration to do what you do today.
Yeah, so I come from Tower Hamlets in East London. I guess when I talk about inspiration, I think the big thing for me is knowing your why. And for me, knowing my why was really, you know, being able to look after my family, trying to change our situation as much as possible, and being the eldest child, so being an example to my younger sisters. You know, I always tell the story. My mum, she had a bad leg, so she was used to have a limp. You know, and I remember one day coming home, and she had slipped in the stairs. And if you know, the stairwells of a council estate are not somewhere where you really want to be sitting down in. And my mum was sitting in all this disgusting mess that were on the stairs. And I was just like, you know, I had to help her get up, but she hurt herself, so she couldn't get up. I had to help her get up, get back home. And I helped her into the house. And then, you know, she was sad. And then the next day I saw her go back to work with a smile. And I was like, Mum, why are you smiling? Like, look what happened yesterday. And she's like, well, I'm smiling because I've got to go and make money to provide for my family. And so I always told my mum, like, you know, your investment in me would never be wasted. And I think it's about knowing your why. So I think that gave me a drive to say, okay, my mum is doing everything possible that is possible to her to help us have a better life. What can I do to make sure that all this effort and energy and all that she's going through, all the pain and all the hurt and all the abuse and all the disrespect that she takes on a daily basis, how am I doing to make sure that I utilize the opportunity that she's creating for me? And so I really tell people, you know, it's really about your desire and knowing your why. Some people have good lives. Some people have harder lives. It doesn't really matter. We see people that come from really good backgrounds and still end up, you know, not in the great situation because they haven't really understood why they're doing what they're doing. So that is always what I always tell people, you know, focus on your why, and that will kind of help you elevate past your situation.
That's such a powerful story. And the next part of it is that some people then go on to have a high income, but they don't actually get to manage that money and keep that money and grow that money. And actually, on a very modest income, you can build assets that will stand you in good stead in the future. And for the first sort of 20, 30, maybe more of my life, I was a very bad custodian of that money that came to me. And now in a very short time, you can be a good custodian and build the wealth. So let's talk about the basics. If people are listening today and they think, wealth building, what does this really mean? Does it apply to me?
Yeah, I think the basics, the very, very basics, is what people call kind of your money mindset. Understanding what money means to you and what you're using money for. I think what happens is especially when you come from, like you said, my real mission is for people that came from, you know, poverty or came from the kind of environments I come from. And what happens is that when you come from poverty or when you come from not much, what you tend to do, rather than focus on ownership, you tend to try, ownership seems like something that's so far away that you can never become an owner. So the best thing you can do is buy the things that you think those that own have. So I can't buy the houses. I can't own a business. I haven't got money to do that stuff. But I see someone who does own a business, has a nice watch, has a nice car, goes on holidays to certain places. And so what we start to do is aim for the things that we think we can afford, that people that we think are wealthy or rich are doing. And so what happens is we spend all our money looking like we're one of them. But the reality is we have no ownership, so we're not one of them. And so it's almost a case of you're running a cycle where I always tell people, if you're not giving money to yourself, if you're not paying yourself, your future self, you're always going to have to work. And that's never going to be a good mindset. What we need to do is really focus on what can we build now? What can we put in our money into now that's going to pay our future self so we can stop work? Because to me, work on its own, having one job and one income, work on its own, that's the new slavery. Yeah. Because what they will do is you'll get a job, you have that job. And then what happens is now you get a nice car finance, you rent in a nice place. All of a sudden now, to maintain your lifestyle, you need to go back to this one job. And so now the person that owns that company has the power over you. Even if you don't like that job, you're afraid to leave it because how will you pay for the lifestyle that you live? And what we want to do, is try and provide assets so we can control the lifestyle that we live in. That lifestyle we're living is coming from the assets that we get. So I always tell people, the biggest thing that you kind of tell yourself or you're told is that get a job and you're secure. But the reality is that your job is just one income. And so you need to try and think about, okay, I've got this one income. What can I do? And even if this one income pays all your bills, what can you do with your time after your 9 to 5? So from your 5 to 9 to create other streams of income that can start to pay towards investing for your future and the life that you want to live.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think jobs can be obviously a great starting board, a great springboard for most people to build up that foundation and then to build on it with their 5 to 9. So I know you've got your habits that you talk about in the book. So perhaps now is a good time to talk about some of those core habits that people should be thinking about.
Yeah. So I think we all have habits, things that we do. I think for me personally, I think one of the biggest habits I do is always go back to checking what's going on. So when it comes to my income, what you want to do with your money is automate your money as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So one of the big mistakes that a lot of us make is that you have all our money paid into one account. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that you look at your account, you think you have money, you go and spend it, a direct debit comes out or more money comes out than what you expect. And now you're struggling for the rest of the month. And so for me, what's important is really to split your accounts, make your money clear, automate the amounts that you have access to so that your bills are paid without you thinking about it. Your savings is done or your investing is done without you thinking about it. And so the only money you have to worry about is the money that you want to spend. And you know that everything else has been taken care of. I think it's really good to get into the habits of reviewing your direct debits, reviewing your standing orders, your subscriptions, to make sure that you're getting the best deals. Because again, sometimes, and also making sure that you're actually making use of it. Because sometimes, you know, we've all been there where we get excited and we feel like, yeah, I really want this HelloFresh. Do you know what I mean? I want to eat this fresh. And then you do the subscription, the boxes start coming and you're not using it and it's actually going spoiled. And you realize that maybe you just got excited. It was a great idea, but it doesn't suit you. So it's about reviewing this stuff and making sure your money that you work hard for is working for you.
That's such a good one. Hello Fresh, when the fresh goes stale. But yeah, we need to be reviewing. But I know that you've got different ways you work with people, and I'm so curious, maybe you could tell us about some of those. If people think, yeah, I want to review my money, I want to think about saving, I want to think about investing, I want to think about paying off my debt, have you got offers that people can come and work with you with that?
Yeah, so we offer one-to-one for clients, and it all depends on where you're at. So I have the Eban Effect, which is a financial education company that, you know, helps people in the early stages. If you're not ready to actually start investing, you need to, you know, pay off debt. You need to get your better money habits going. You need to start actually building up an emergency fund and all of these types of things. Get your credit better. We can help you with that through the Eban Effect. And then I'm a senior partner in Belvedere Wealth Management, which is a financial advice firm, where if you then want to set up a pension or an ISA or start investing, we can actually help you invest as well. So I offer both, and it's all dependent on where people are at and what stage people are at. I think it's really important, because in the UK, financial advice really is targeted at people with 100K plus. If you haven't got 100K plus, you'll find it hard to get a financial advisor that will work with you. But for me, because of where I come from, what we want to do is try and say, well, how do people get to 100K if you don't teach them how to handle £10, £100, £1,000? And so this is why it's really important for us to be able to help people from zero and for a lot of people from minus, because they're in debt, all the way up to actually, you know, building wealth and getting into the big figures.
And we're so lucky to live at this time. You were saying about your mum there and the things with our parents and grandparents did not have the opportunities that we have today to start businesses, to own properties. I mean, not saying some of them did own properties, don't get wrong.
Yeah.
But we have so much more opportunities than they had. And like you said earlier, what are we doing with our opportunities? Would we be proud if our ancestors were to revisit and say, what are you doing, guys?
It's a great point, because I think for a lot of us, I speak to people and they're like, oh, my mum never told me, or my dad never told me, or I wish my parents had taught me this. And actually, sometimes we're being so harsh on our parents because our parents didn't know. They didn't come from, they weren't here. They weren't in the system. Someone can only teach you what they know, right? And who was there teaching them for them to be able to teach you? If people actually look back, when the Windrush generation came, a lot of the banks wouldn't even open accounts to them, wouldn't give them loans, wouldn't give them access to business loans and housing loans so that they could actually become owners. So again, they had to learn from themselves. So I think, you know, we're now living a time where there's so much information. Yeah. There is actually, people are so bombarded by information, they don't know where to go. But there are trusted sources. So I always tell people, be intentional. Make sure that, you know, okay, if your parents couldn't teach you, make sure you're learning enough so you can tell your children, your family members, the people around you, and educate them. And even if you can't tell them, you can point them in the right direction and say, go follow that account, go and speak to that, go and read that book. I think it's really important that we take the information and share it.
Absolutely. And did I see it was an audiobook as well?
Yes, audiobook as well. Yes.
So people got no excuse. If you love the audiobooks, I love an audiobook, but I actually bought this in the hard copy, and it is a hardback book, beautiful book, and so much goodness inside. So do get this on Amazon, get your money right. And for those of you who also, like myself, love the audio, you can go to Audible and get your money right as well.
Yes.
So let's talk about, so people manage, let's say, to get out of in debt, and they've got a little bit of savings now, they're ready to start investing. Now, for many people, that is just gobbledygook, don't understand, does not compute.
Yes.
So where should they start with if people are ready to invest?
If people are ready to invest, I think that I always tell people there are three main types of investment. Yeah. So we've got one asset class, which is stocks and shares, which you've got, you know, pensions, ISAs, in buying individual shares. I think the second one is property. You can go all the way from, as you know, from rent to rent all the way to home ownership and buy and flip and all the different HMO and all of the other stuff that's out there. And then also business. So where you can invest in a business and then bring in income and also, you know, create a new stream of income and so forth. I think for people, you have to look at what is the goal? Because I think what's happening is that for a lot of people, you haven't worked out what you want. And so you go on social media and you see what other people maybe you may admire or other people you know or other people you like are doing. And you start to take what they want as what you want. So I'll give you an example. I had a client the other day who was saying that one of their friends just got a new car. And so now they want to buy a new car. And they're down on themselves because they feel like, oh, my car is old and so forth. But after we finished the meeting, what they actually wanted was to buy a new house. Mm-hmm. And so once they got into their mind that actually what I want to do is buy a new house, they're no longer bothered at their friend who bought a car because they realize that's not what I want for myself. That's not where I'm going. So I'm happy not to have a car if it means I'm going to be able to buy a property. And so it's actually really important that you know that you don't chase other people's goals, that you know what you want to achieve and what's right for you. I think when it comes to investing, especially with stocks and shares, it's become easier now. There are platforms that allow you to do it from as little as a pound. Some platforms even allow you to invest your change. And I know people are like, oh, why would I want to invest my change? It's not going to be enough to give me a good return. The point is that there's lessons that you learn through experience. And so what happens is that if you invest your change and so forth, and let's say you put in over the year £100 and it goes up by 10%, and somebody else put 100,000 and it goes up by 10%, you both have money that went up by 10%. It doesn't matter. Obviously, the one that's put more has made more. But vice versa, if you put it in and lost 10%, and you all lose the same and you make the same in the same investment. So the point being is that it's not about how much you have in it. It's about you experiencing the ups and downs of the market so you can get more education, get more comfortable, and understand that, oh, look, something bad happened on the news and now my fund is down. Oh, look, something good happened and look, now my portfolio has gone up. So you can see the effects and that can teach you over time. So I always tell people the earlier you start when it comes to, you know, the stock market and investing in stocks, the better. I think when it comes to property, if that's something that's a passion of yours, you've got to find a strategy that makes sense for you. So I've got people who are struggling with income and yet they want to buy a house. Actually, you're probably better off trying the rent-to-rent strategy and building that and then using the income from that to help you build up the money for the deposit to go and buy a house than you are killing yourself waiting 15, 20 years to save a deposit and you've missed all those years. You could have been creating income from property and building up your property knowledge as well. Because again, experience is a teacher. So even if you don't own a property, for using the rent-to-rent strategy, you get to experience a lot of things that property owners have to go through. And some people have said, you know what, I don't even want to own after experience this. I want to keep it on, you know, rent to rent or do Airbnb or whatever it may be. But experience is the teacher. And so again, the same thing with business. I think we all, even if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, you have to think there are skills, there are things that you've learned that you can add value to somebody else and they'll pay you for it. Whether you want to be an entrepreneur or whether you want to be a big business owner, if you've learned a skill, like a lot of my clients, for example, between 75 to 100K, they're in the top percent of top, you know, 10, 15% of earners. So I told them, and they're like, I don't know what business to start. I'm like, listen, there are 85% of people that earn less than you. So there is your audience. There are people that wish they were earning as much as you. You can use your experience and the things you've learned to get to the position that you are, find people that want to be in the position you are, and charge them to help them get there. And yes. And these are you don't have to have a big business idea. You don't have to have some brand new thing. These is ways that you've been able to create value for others and people will pay you for it.
Oh, I love so much you've said. There's so much that I could go into, but the most important one that I want to draw out is intention. Live your life intentionally. Don't spend your money unintentionally. And at the end of the month, you've been to Uber Eats 3 times, but you didn't even really remember. Actually, you wish you hadn't gone because you'd bought some food now. Your HelloFresh has gone off in the fridge. And so your money's just going.
Yeah.
And what I love is the compound interest calculator. Before we came on, I'm changing windows. Before we came on to this call, I actually went into it because I wanted to see if you even put the money that you waste every month, say £100 a month, in 30 years, it's over £100,000, £126,000. But what happens mostly after you start investing? You start investing more and more. And if you do £500 a month over a period, even at 7% per year, it's over £600,000.
Wow.
And this is money that people have, that money come through their hands, whether it's $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, it comes through your hands. And then do you grow it or do you just let it go to the floor and be seeds for other people? Yeah. So the thing you talked about next, and you gave a case study.
Yes.
Was about pensions.
Yes.
So I'd love you to say a few words on that.
I think for me, pensions are great. Yeah. Pensions are great in regards to saving for your retirement. And, you know, they're very tax efficient and, you know, especially if you're employed, you know, you've got your company will put money in as well as, you know, the government. So there's not many investments that you can put money in, that you put money in, then your company potentially match it. And then the government give you 20% on top or even 40% or 45%, give you 20% on top or even 25% on top. Or even additional 20 and 25. So if you're a 40% taxpayer, you can claim another 20%. And if you're an additional rate taxpayer at 45%, you can claim back an additional 20% as well. So there are not many investments that you can put your money in and get those types of return. But at the same time, you have to remember that pensions are not controlled by you. They're controlled by government in regards to when you can actually get access to your money. And so what happens is that you might want to, if you want to retire at 50, you have to have a plan because you might not be able to get your pensions until 57, 58, 60. And so it's really important that you understand when you're putting money in pension that if pensions are your only investment, then you are waiting. You're gonna have to wait till the government allow you to get access to it. So it's really important for me that yes, pensions are one stream of income. But you should be thinking about others. You shouldn't just have, okay, I go to work and put all my money into pensions and then I'm set for life. Those days are gone. So it's really important that, you know, yes, pensions are a great tool. They're very tax efficient. They can allow you to get access to commercial property as well. So for those that like property, you can get access to property. Don't pay capital gains tax when you sell it. So I have a lot of property people that make good money using money that they built up in pensions, because if they bought that same commercial property direct, they'd have to pay CGT and so forth, but they don't have to pay if the pension owns it. Also, they can get loans from the pension provider as well. So there are loads of benefits of pension, and you don't have to wait to get to benefit from it till you take it out. But it's really important to understand that pensions should just be one stream of income and one part of your investment strategy rather than the whole investment strategy.
Absolutely. And I really feel that people should have all of it. The thing where I feel that the education isn't, it's like if your employer is putting money into your pension and the government is obviously putting in, as you say, really, it's foolish to not put in.
Yes.
But then you should have the, I used to think I didn't want to put my money there. And I hear people saying that to me now. But then you've got your other investments, either stocks and shares, property and business. And I think stocks and shares, if you want something entirely passive to start off with, is a great way to start.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, you can use things like everyone's got an ISA allowance of, you know, 20,000 a year. You also got, you know, if you're a first time buyer, you've got the ability to use a LISA as well. Obviously be careful with the LISA, especially if you're trying to buy in and around London, because there is a 450 limit. They need to look at changing it, because trying to buy something for 450 or under in London, it can be quite difficult. So there's some, that's something for them to review. But yeah, I think, you know, there are, which with the LISA, you can get 25%. Again, what investment can you put your money in and get a guaranteed 25% on? So these are the types of things that we need to really look at and think about. And this is why it's so important, number one, to have a goal that you're trying to achieve and have your goal set out, but then also have a plan on how you're going to achieve it. And that's where, you know, we as financial advisors come in and help people to kind of build that plan from where they are to where they want to be. And we help build the plan to bridge the gap.
Yeah, and I really recommend that you do, you get all the detail in the book. We're only able to touch on these items, Get Your Money Right by Emmanuel Asukwu. You can see it on Amazon, but also you can contact Emmanuel and work with him one-to-one on his website, The Eman Effect, if you're watching this episode. Have I got this? No, sorry. EmmanuelAsukwu.com, and I put that on the screen if you're watching on the Rent to Rent Success website. It's renttorentsuccess.com/175. So before we close, Emmanuel, I really want to talk about inheritance.
Yes. Because
this is a topic that everybody needs to know and understand. And most people don't think it's anything to do with them. And basically what they decide to do is give 50% of their money away to the government upon dying.
Yes. And so it's really important. So I think, again, it all depends on the stage you're at. I think for a lot of people, they're on the stage of trying to build wealth. So all they focus on is building. But actually, an important key part of building wealth is, one, financial education for those that you're going to leave the wealth to.
Yes.
And two, actually protecting the wealth so that it actually gets into, you get as much of it into the hands of the people you want to leave it to. So there's two parts to it. One, you need to educate your children, your grandchildren, whoever is going to be, to make sure that they don't squander it and waste it. And then two is about actually making sure you've got wills, you've got trusts, you've got things put in place to make sure that as much as possible is, it goes over. I want people to understand that inheritance tax, which is a tax where you pay 40% on whatever your on your inheritance above a certain limit, is a voluntary tax. As in, you, it's not a tax you have to pay. It's a tax you have chosen to pay because you have assets above a certain amount. And so actually this can be avoided by moving assets and passing assets around and having the right financial advice. And actually what happens is that we don't get the advice. And a lot of the time when we do get the advice, it's like, oh, someone's about to die or someone's got an illness. And now you want to put stuff in place, but you haven't left enough time, because there's something called the 7-year rule, which I'll just leave on because it's quite, but if you put, you can pass an asset to someone, but you need to, if you, you need to live 7 years for that asset to be outside of your estate. So it's really important that you give enough time to actually not just build wealth, but actually make sure that you're given enough time to hand stuff over to who you want to hand it to, in order to make sure you're not giving it to the government. Because guess what? They have enough money as it is.
Yeah, and you want to leave your money, if you want to leave it to your kids, if you want to leave it in trust, whatever you want to do with it, that's what you want to do with it. Make sure that you get to do that with it. And the thing is, we spend so much time involved in basically other people's business, TV shows, social media, blah, blah, blah. Why not actually put a bit of that time into our own business? Because it really is fascinating and interesting. I can't believe I'm saying this, once you get into it. But give me a case study. You've got quite a few case studies through the book, people who really benefited massively through working with you and getting their money right.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to draw to a close with a case study, maybe of somebody who came to you a bit clueless or not sure really of the direction.
Yeah, I think my favorite case study out of all of them was Babatunde, BT. And basically, I feel like a lot of us are like this. So Babatunde has a decent job, but his friends earn a lot more than him. Mm. And so his friends decide to go on holiday on this really expensive holiday. And the reality is that he should have said, no, I can't afford it, or should have stayed at home and said, you guys go, I'll come to the next one. But pride made him say, look, if you guys are going, I'm going. And so now they're all going and they're all splitting it. But what's small to his friends is a lot to him. Mm-hmm. And so ends up that a lot of money is being spent. And for him to recover, he has to go into overdraft, go to credit card, get a loan. And actually, by the time he comes back from the holiday, it takes him 4 to 5 years to pay off the actual holiday. And he actually spends a lot more because he's got overdraft loans, credit cards, he's paying interest on them. So again, what might have cost his friends £10,000 ends up costing him, you know, £18,000 for the same holiday because it's taken him 4 years to pay and he's had to pay interest on top. So, and those 4 years that he's paying off the holiday, he could have used that money to purchase a property. He could have used that money to invest in a business. He could have used that money to buy stocks and so forth. So it's really important that the financial decisions we're making a lot of the time out of pride, out of ego, are actually costing us more than just, you know, what we're missing out then. They're actually costing us future because we're spending, we're having to pay and make up. We're robbing our future selves, basically, because you're making a decision now that you to pay for something that you can't actually afford. So now your future self is going to have to continue to pay that in the future when that money could have been used for other things. And so for me, that it's really important for us to get out of that mindset of trying to impress others and actually look at what's best for us.
And I think that's a lot of the time we don't actually know because we haven't actually thought about it. We haven't actually taken that intentionality. Okay, if I could spend my money on anything, which, hey, newsflash, you can, what would I choose to spend it on? What would I consciously spend it on? What would I want to do? Would I want to have would I want to buy a house? Would I want to buy a car? Would I want to? Because for different people, it's different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then how can I get there? What investments are going to help me? To get there.
Yeah, exactly. And understand that. And I have this debate all the time on the car thing because I get it, like, I like a nice car as well. I think cars are beautiful and you know, they are a status symbol and so forth. But we have to make it make sense. Yeah. You driving, £50,000, £60,000 car and paying £400-£500 a month on the payments of the car. And then you have to pay insurance and maintenance and all of that. Whilst living in your mum's house, do you know what I mean? Sharing a bunk bed with your brother, it doesn't make sense. It's just not, the balance doesn't make sense. And we make these decisions out of pride. Like, how can you be in the club buying out the bar, you know, buying all this champagne and all of this stuff? And the reality is that you're going back home to use your mum's internet, you know, to even post on Instagram. You know what I mean? You don't even pay the internet bill. You don't own anything. You know what I mean? And so this is where I'm really like, you know, let's think about what we're doing. Like, for the gram and for likes is not a currency, you know. If you're struggling with your bills, you can't say to, you know, British Gas, but I've got 1,000 likes, can I get a discount? It doesn't work like that. Do you know what I mean? It's not a currency. So it's really important that we actually look at what are we building for ourselves and you know, make your investments pay for that car. That's what you want to do. You want to invest it and make your investments pay for the car. Do you know what I mean? Then you ain't got to worry because, you know, you're still building, you're still growing whilst driving that, rather than it becoming a liability because it's the only thing you own. All your money's in a car that's going down in value.
Wow. Guys, you've got to follow at the Iman Effect UK. Obviously, you get this all the time. I'm always laughing at my phone as the videos come down. Bro, what are you doing? Sharing the bunk bed, etc. Driving around in the fancy car. Using your mum's electric. Okay, that's brilliant. And it's so funny you mentioned about cars because we're just stepping up in the fancy car stakes. We've never been fancy car people. But yeah. As you said, we've put those foundations in place. And now we're ready to get fancy.
You ain't got to feel bad. You know that it's not going to affect your lifestyle. You can still maintain your lifestyle. You've sacrificed for long enough. Do you know what I mean? When other people that have been earning less than you have been driving fancy cars, you have been humble. So now it's your time. Do you know what I mean? To go and enjoy it, and no one can rob you of that.
Yeah, well, it's all in process. Nikki's just got a Tesla Model S, which is amazing. It's red with the beige interiors, and I'm just about to get a Porsche, and it's cherry red. Ooh. With the beige interiors. So a Taycan, because we're getting electric because of the business benefits to buying electric cars.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, thank you so much for coming on. I just want to end on,
yes,
The secrets to success, Iman. What do you think are the secrets to success for people?
I think when I speak to clients, one of the biggest things I think is one of the biggest secrets to success is loving yourself. When I speak to clients, especially when it comes to their finance and the financial decisions that they're making, they don't love themselves. They love that they have an idea of what it is. They haven't actually truly loved themselves enough. Because if you love yourself, you wouldn't harm yourself by making financial decisions that are going to be bad for you. But a lot of us make bad financial decisions on a daily basis, knowing that we're going to struggle, knowing that we really shouldn't. But the reality is that you feel like people will not love you if you don't have if you're not in a certain club, or people won't love you if you don't wear certain things. People won't love you if you don't drive a certain car. But the reality is, if you love yourself, you understand that the car doesn't make me, I make the car. Do you know what I mean? The house doesn't make me, I make the house. Like, I'm not valued. My value doesn't decrease because I don't own a house. I'm already valuable. I'm already special. And it's really important for when I have sessions with clients, is really getting them to love themselves, to know that they are already valuable. They are already important. And all we're doing is adding to them, not making them up. Like, and sometimes we feel like once I buy this or once I own this, my life is going to change. And one of the reasons a lot of people are stressed and depressed is because when they get what they think is going to validate them, they realize that it can't validate them, because you have to validate yourself. And so it's really, really important. And I think when you learn that, that is the foundation to then go and build success on.
Wow, this is why you're so successful, Emmanuel. It's because it's not just about the numbers, you deep into the emotions that drive the behavior. And the other thing that you mentioned quite a few times throughout this discussion today is your future self.
Yeah.
And people have to not only, and what you're saying is people have to love themselves. You've got to love yourself in this moment, who's desiring, I don't know, Uber Eats or whatever, this expensive holiday or whatever, but you've also got to love your future self, who wants to be own their own house and move out of their mom's bunk bed.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. No, the way you put it, that's exactly it. But obviously you've made the sacrifices, and that's why I love what you stand for, you know, and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you know, it's so important to see, you know, women, especially Black women, doing the stuff, you know, being in the positions of power and being in the positions of authority, and then not just being there, but also being a nice person. One of the things I love about you, you're such a lovely, nice, down-to-earth person. For somebody so successful, you know, especially with how hard your life was, you could easily get successful and be like, I killed myself, I worked so hard to get this. But you're so down-to-earth, you're so humble, you're so approachable, you want to help people, you really have a heart for people. Anyone that I know that's gone to do your courses has always come back with positive feedback in you trying to make sure that they understood it, that they learn it, that they're better in it, better for it, for the money that they spent. You're really about the people. And, you know, God continue to bless you as you continue to, you know, help us all.
Every time you come on this thing, you make me want to cry. But thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying that. And I do feel it's a privilege. I feel that I was really lucky to learn what I learned and open this door, which is just like an Aladdin's cave. And of course, you just want to say to people, look, come over. It's just so simple to be in this world as it was to be in the other world, which is still stressful, and you feel out of control. You feel somebody else is in the power. And in this world, of course, you have different challenges being in business, because people sometimes come to me and say, what if I have a problem when I start my business? Well, let me just tell you, newsflash, you will have a problem when you start your business, but you've got problems. You always got problems. This is the human life. Do you want business problems, or do you want struggle problems? And that's basically it.
Yeah, we know which ones we prefer.
Yeah, we know which ones we prefer. So thank you so much, Emmanuel. It's always a joy to have you on. Really encourage you guys to get Your Money Right. It's such a good book. It's really a fun read. And of course, you can get it on Audible as well if you just want to listen to the book. Instead of, why not do both? Do both.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Right.
And remember, until next week, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you soon. Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rents to rent. You can find it at rentstorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent-to-rent HMO book and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at rent2rentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.